So last week we looked at the foundational role of prayer. If you were here and we kicked off 2024 with a message on prayer, and we thought about how that is so key to our growth and fruitfulness as a church. Before Christmas, we thought about how the Word and the Spirit are also key to our strength and growth as a church. And the Word, Spirit, and prayer, if you're part of this church, you'll know that they're three of our four cultural values as a church. The fourth is generosity, and we are committed as a church to ensure that they play a central role in our life and activity as the church, well, both individually and corporately. The Word, the Spirit, prayer, and generosity. And so we've been thinking about that in recent weeks, but over the next couple of weeks at the start of 2024, I want us to also consider two aspects of our ongoing vision as a church. And it's already been mentioned this morning. We had our Leaders' Day yesterday. But the vision can be summed up in two headings, serving community and growing together. If we get this up, you'll be able to see them on the screen. If not, you just have to listen very carefully. Serving community and growing together. And this morning, I want to talk about growing together. And then next week, Martin's going to focus on serving community. So growing together can be summarized in this statement, and you'll have heard it many times if you're part of this church, but we see a church, oh, there we go, that helps me. That's what I've talked about, our culture, prayer, generosity, Word, and Spirit, and here, now you can read along, that's good timing, thanks, guys. So growing together, we see a church where all belong, and where we actively encourage and intentionally help people grow as disciples of Jesus. That's what we're trying to do. That's what we're about. So the emphasis there really is discipleship. It's about how we, as the church, together help people find and follow Jesus. That's what we're about. And so that includes helping those already in the church to know and follow Jesus more and more. That's part of the outworking of that part of our vision, as well as helping those who are not yet believers encounter the life that can be only found in Jesus. So we want people to grow in Jesus, but we want people to meet Jesus. And so this aspect of our vision growing together can be summed up in the Great Commission, I think. The Great Commission, Matthew 28. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Jesus' last command here in Matthew 28 makes the church's mission and purpose abundantly clear. The church is called by Jesus to reach the world for Jesus, one person at a time. In other words, every Christian is commanded to participate in the mission of making disciples of Jesus. Every Christian. You are called, as a Christian, to not just sit on the sidelines, letting people serve you whilst you wait for heaven. But you are actually called to be actively involved in helping others grow in their connection to and their relationship with Jesus. So how are you doing that? How are we doing that together? And of course, some of the different aspects of church life and activity that we offer and that we organize are in large part designed to fuel this great commission, to help us engage in disciple making of both new and existing members. What we do helps that. So our Sunday gatherings, what we're doing right now is part of that, with the worship and Word and fellowship and ministry and prayer. These things are a staple diet for us, a regular thing that we do which helps us grow together. At whatever stage of the journey we're on, we can come together and actually grow on that journey. Midweek life groups are provided and facilitated really in such a way as to help us foster mutual support and care and encouragement in order to help each member grow in their relationship with Jesus, or grow as disciples of Jesus. So Jesus is at the center of those groups and the heart of those groups. The Alpha course is used We use it as a tool to help strengthen disciple-making within the church. And it provides a context to help and encourage people to discover who Jesus is and to learn what it means to follow him. And actually, Alpha has been helpful for unbelievers and believers, you know, wherever they're at on the journey. So if you've never done it, why not sign up? And then, of course, many of the projects that we do as a church under the banner of serving community, which we'll hear more about next week, are an extension. They're an extension of this disciple-making commission as well, because they enable us to show and share the love of Christ in practical and relational ways. So a lot of what we do feeds into this great commission. And growing together is really about fulfilling this great commission that Jesus has given us. So I just want to revisit that briefly this morning. The first thing to understand is that for us, in order for us to play our part in the fulfillment of the Great Commission, which is a call to make disciples of all nations, we first have to be genuine disciples ourselves. If we're going to play a part in this, we need to be genuine disciples ourselves. Mark Dever says, being a disciple of Christ does not begin with something we do. It begins with something Christ did. That's the foundation. Doesn't begin with you. Doesn't begin with something you do. It begins with what Christ did, what Christ has done. So the gospel is not news about how great we are and how well we have done to make ourselves acceptable to God in order that he would love us. It's not about what we do. The gospel is news about a great God who already loves flawed people like you and me. And it's that love that he has given to us in Christ Jesus that actually makes us acceptable and fills our life with hope and purpose. Jesus lived a life that we could not live. And he died the death that we deserve to die. On the cross, in our place, taking the punishment for all our sin, all our guilt, all our wrongdoing, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be free, so that we could be reconciled to the God who made us and gave us life. And then, having paid the price for sin, he rose from the dead, defeating sin and death and securing our eternal hope and proving that he was who he said he was, the only true Savior and Lord. The resurrection defeated death and sin, but also proved that Jesus was who he said he was, the way, the truth, and the life. And this Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, calls us to trust and follow him. That's what it means to be a Christian. Many people hear that gospel call, that gospel message. They hear Jesus' invitation. They may like much of what he offers, but they don't truly respond. They don't follow. They don't want to give up the reins to their own lives. They don't really want to change. And so they don't really live as disciples of Jesus. They don't really trust him. They don't really believe that he is who he says he is. And so they don't receive the life that is truly life. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus says, verse 24 through 26, some challenging words about what it means to truly trust and follow him. He says this: whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? What's Jesus revealing? He's saying you can't hold on to what was. You can't hold on to your old life of sin and selfishness, doing your own thing, going your own way, and at the same time embrace the life that he offers. Those two attitudes, those two approaches are incompatible. You can't hold on to the one and embrace the other. It has to be letting go of one, surrendering one, abandoning one in order to pursue the other. That's what it means to be a disciple. That's what it means to be a Christian. We must recognize who Jesus is. We must accept who Jesus is. He is Savior and He is Lord. And we place ourselves willingly under His authority because of who we believe that He is and who that we've seen that He is. He leads, we follow. He leads, we obey. He leads, we trust. After time, I wonder if our view of Christianity is actually we're saying, "Oh yeah, we like Jesus, what you're offering. We want a bit of insurance policy. Why don't you come and join me in my life? Come and take your seat in a corner of my life, and you follow me around, Jesus. It's almost like that's what we have. Come on, Lord, you come and bless my life and follow me around. I'm going to carry on doing what I've always done." It's like, but that's not the gospel call. The gospel call is Jesus saying, "Come, follow me." You have to abandon your life. You say yes because you recognize that the way that you were living, that's a dead end anyway. Why would you want to hold on to it? And so repentance is a complete change of mind, a complete change of direction, turning away from our old life to follow Jesus into the new life. And so He leads, we follow. He leads, we trust. And not perfectly, of course, by any stretch of the imagination. We fall flat daily. But He is now the center of our lives. And it's His life, His way, His will that we're following. He's the one that we want to follow. That's what it means to be a disciple, to be a Christian. So to be a disciple means that you have responded to the call to follow Jesus and surrendered your life to Him. You're not just sympathetic to His claims. You're not just sympathetic to some of the things that He offers. You've actually seen Jesus is the one. He's the way, the truth, the life, and I'm following Him. And so it means we follow Jesus. We surrender our life to Him. And if the definition of a disciple is a follower of Christ, then to make disciples at its most simplest level means to help someone else follow Christ. To be a disciple is about following Christ. To make disciples is about helping others follow Christ at whatever stage of the journey they're on as well. They may not have even met Him yet. So you're kind of helping them, you're introducing them to Jesus. But if they have, then you're helping them follow. And this is something that every Christian should be involved in. You're following, but you're also helping others follow. So, how's your life arranged around this core purpose? As you reflect on your life, where are you seeing that playing out? In terms of you following Jesus, but you also helping by the way that you're living, or the way you're speaking, or the way you're helping others as well. So let's look at the commission Jesus gave to us. And remember, it's Christ's authority that is the foundation of our activity. Yet we go in the authority of Christ to do the work of Christ by the power of Christ. So we don't fulfill this commission. We don't fulfill this commission in our own strength or in our own power. In Him, we can do what He has called us to do. So there are three kind of actions, surrounding actions that are involved in the central command of making disciples. Three things that you can see there. Go, baptize, and teach. So firstly, go. Go and make disciples. Move out from where you are. Move towards others. Go. Make a move. We should be going and sharing what we know. Sharing the gospel. Sharing the Jesus that we know and love. We should be intentionally reaching out to people for the sake of helping them encounter Christ and become His disciples. How's that playing out in your life? Who are you praying for? Who are you sharing with? And in places around the world where it's dangerous to be a Christian, like really dangerous, properly dangerous, what often happens when people come to Christ in that situation is that they're immediately encouraged by the disciple that led them to Christ to think about sharing this hope that they now have with other people they know. That's how the gospel spreads in hard-to-reach places, in places where you can't kind of be public. You can't have meetings like this where you can just, you know, hand it over to somebody else to preach the gospel. You've got to be able to share and speak to others. And I read of one context where, firstly, new disciples are told to make a list of all the people that they know who don't know Christ. And then secondly, they're told to circle the five or six on that list who would be least likely to hurt or kill them if they shared the gospel with them. And then thirdly, they're told to start praying for and seizing opportunities to share Jesus with these people. Like, so deliberate, so intentional, and so such a part of who they are. You know, from the very beginning of their faith journey, this idea of multiplication and disciple making is in them. It's part of the DNA. They know that if it wasn't for someone sharing Jesus with them, then they would not know the good news of the life and hope that is now theirs in Christ. And so from the very beginning, they know that part of their responsibility and privilege as a disciple is to go and make disciples. And this is happening even in contexts where they may be persecuted for doing so. The very heart of Christ for every disciple, and that includes you, is that they make disciples. And so this should be our desire. This should be our expectation from the very beginning. So why not do what Christians around our world are encouraged to do? I want to make it very practical for us this morning. I want to relate it to the Alpha course, which is obviously a great opportunity that we've got coming up to introduce people to Jesus in a helpful, engaging context. So why not use what disciple makers use in hard-to-reach places around our world? Why not relate this to Alpha? So firstly, I'm encouraging you, make a list of all the people in your sphere of influence who don't know Christ, whether that's family, friends, neighbors, colleagues. And then secondly, circle some of those people, two or three, that seem most open or that are least likely to hurt or kill you if you invite them. Don't think there'll be any in that category. Maybe it's more like those who are least likely to mock you or reject you if you invite them to Alpha. And then thirdly, over the next few weeks, pray for them and pray for an opportunity and the boldness to invite them to Alpha, or indeed just to open up a conversation to them about Jesus and see what happens. Because unless we start taking proactive steps, unless we're challenged to make the invite, then what usually happens is we just stay in our comfort zones. We never see disciples made, because it doesn't happen by accident, this. You know, we have to step out. And what if God has put those people in our lives for a reason? He loves them so much, and he desires them to know him, and because he loves them so much, he has put you in their life so that you will have opportunity to share the good news that he has revealed to you, to them. So start praying, start going, start inviting. And what's the worst that can happen? In our context, really, no thanks, they say. Not now, not interested, whatever. So yeah, just to encourage you, let's just watch this.
Life is for exploring. So where will your curiosity take you? You're invited to Alpha this new year. The best conversations happen over great food with interesting people. A place for the open-minded. And they're not quite sure? A space to ask whatever you like. Or nothing at all. Who knows what this new year will bring? But let's make it one to remember, where we grab all life's got to offer. We'll never have it all figured out, but that's all part of the adventure. Stay curious. Try Alpha.
So, as I say, this is just a helpful tool that we're using as a church to help us make disciples. So why not make use of it and do some of what I've encouraged? There are those little flyers. There are some left out there. We'll try and print some more for next week as well. But feel free to take those to hand them out. Or a better idea, maybe you could just take a photo of the front and the back, and then you can text it to someone if you prefer to do it that way, and then follow it up perhaps with a conversation. So there are ways to do it, but let's make use of this tool because we have been positioned to help people encounter Jesus. So there's going and sharing Jesus, going and inviting. But then secondly, baptize. And the temptation when we hear these kind of next two actions, to baptize and to teach, the temptation is for our minds to go straight to the professional minister, the vicar, the pastor, the leader. But actually this commission is for all of us. And so there has to be a way for us to understand this commission more personally and universally. What is baptism? Baptism is the symbolic and public demonstration and declaration that somebody is identifying themselves with Christ. They are in Christ. And they are showing themselves to be his followers by this act of baptism. And then they're also identifying themselves with his body, the church, of which they're now part. So they've been birthed into Christ and into his family, the church. And so part of making disciples is not just helping people know and trust Christ, it's also helping them see that they're now part of his body, the church. And it's in relationship with members of his body that they will best learn what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. So disciple-making is about sharing and showing. Baptism is a celebration of someone becoming part of the family of God. So we need to act like family. Let's be present. Let's be engaged. Let's be involved. Let's give and receive so that the whole family benefits. This is part of our responsibility as disciple makers. Church is not an activity you attend. It's a family to which you belong. Church is not an activity you attend. It's a family to which you belong. And that's what is captured really in our Growing Together statement. We see a church where all belong. There's a belonging element, not where all attend, where all belong and where we actively encourage and intentionally help people grow as disciples of Jesus. And so baptism involves you taking your place, you playing your part in the family so that others can find their place in it too. Growing together. And so we go and we share Jesus and we baptize and we show what it looks like to follow Jesus as part of his family, the church. Go, baptize. And then thirdly, we teach. Go, baptize, teach. Teaching people to obey all that Christ commanded. That's what Jesus says. Now, of course, public teaching and preaching is an important part of our corporate gatherings. It's an important part of our learning and our growing together. But what Jesus is referring to in his commission is more about the teaching that we all have a responsibility to be engaged in as we build relationships and as we make disciples. So it's not just the formal public teaching. It's not just what's happening right now. That's not what Jesus is referring to. It's actually the informal, the organic, the relational teaching that spills out of our lives day by day. So perhaps the most important question to ask ourselves in relation to this call to teach is, are you just a receiver of the word or are you a reproducer? Are you just a receiver or are you a reproducer? If part of the call of every disciple of Jesus is to teach others what it means to follow Jesus, then we all have a responsibility in that, not only to listen and learn, you know, so that we might receive for ourselves, but also that we might have something to reproduce and share with others. Wherever we are on that journey, share what you know, not what you don't know. But we all have a responsibility to see that kind of being reproduced and what we're receiving flowing out of us. If you want a wonderful example of this right now, actually, you just need to spend some time with Maria. I don't want to embarrass you, Maria. But, you know, we see these examples. You know, and if you spend time with Maria, you know, she's not got no public platform. She's not a preacher or a teacher. She's not an ordained minister. You know, her role in the church is various, but, you know, her official role is building administrator, and yet God's word and encouragement pours out of her whenever she has opportunity. And the reason that happens is because she regularly positions herself to receive from God, and then she positions herself to share what she's received. That's why it happens. And both of those positionings are important, not just for Maria, for all of us. Positioning ourselves to receive and then positioning ourselves to reproduce, to share. So how are you filling up? How are you filling up? And how are you giving out? How are you filling up? How are you giving out and giving up? You giving out. You need to grow both. Growing together. Receiving and giving. The word should be passed on through me to other people, through you to other people. David Platt sums it up with that little statement. Will the word stop with you or will it spread through you? Will it stop with you or will it spread through you? So go back to as, teach, share, show, reproduce. This is the same call to every Christian, the same responsibility for every disciple. This is how we grow together. And so to whom are you going to share Jesus with? To whom are you showing what it means to follow Jesus? To whom are you reproducing what you are receiving from Jesus? And it won't look the same for everybody. You know, we're all at different stages of maturity and influence. So it's not about comparing, and it's not, we can learn from one another, of course. But your life, wherever you're at, your life as a Christian should have a growing Christ-exalting purpose at its very center. It should be this desire, not only to follow him, but to help others follow him as well. And then just let me finish. Listen to this wonderful promise at the end of Jesus' words in Matthew 28. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That is so exciting. That's so encouraging. Because Jesus is saying, you will experience the power of my presence at work in your life as you give yourself to this commission. If you want to grow in greater intimacy with Christ and experience more of his presence, then make your life about sharing and showing and revealing Jesus to those around you. Because the more you're connected to him, the more you're receiving from him, the more you're giving out for him, the relationship is going to grow from strength to strength, and you're going to be far more aware of his presence with you. And this is the beautiful promise, and this is the beautiful thing. So step out in fulfillment of this great commission. Get active in sowing into other people's lives for the sake of Jesus. Those who do not yet know him, but also those who already do. Help them to know him better. Through what they see, through what they hear, through what they encounter in you, are people growing to know Christ better. May God align us with his heart. And may we be the church that he's called us to be, where each part is actively encouraging and intentionally helping others grow as disciples of Jesus. That's what we're supposed to be. That's how it's supposed to be. And so let each of us reflect and think about how we're playing our part. Because what better purpose is there than to know him more and to help others to know him too? Growing together. Let's pray. Let's pray for one another right now. You know, a lot of this is obviously challenging, but this is the heart of what it means to be a disciple. This is the heart of Jesus. This is who we've seen, and we want others to see him too. So let's pray. We've got to just pray, really. Pray for that kind of fresh boldness and courage and desire in our lives to be disciples who make disciples.